Good morning. Today's reading is from James chapter 5, verses 7 till 12. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Amen.
Well, thank you to Krista for leading us in prayer, and a thank you to Uday for our reading. My name's Amanda, for those of you that don't know me, and it's my privilege to speak to you on patience. But I just needed to ask you a question before we start. Who remembers Stars in Their Eyes? Come on. Yes. There'll be many of you that don't, but for those of you that do, it was good, right? Yeah, it was a good program. Andrew's saying no. Okay. Well, for those of you that are thinking, what on earth am I talking about? It was a program where contestants would come on and they would have 3 minutes of fame. And Matthew Kelly, the presenter, would ask them who they were going to be. So what pop star they were going to do, because it was a singing. I think it was mainly singing, was it? Yeah. So he would say, who are you going to be? And they would say, really famous answer. They would say, come on, join with me. Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be... And then they would say who it was. I don't know, Dolly Parton or Frank Sinatra or whoever their favourite idol was. I don't know. I can't think of anybody else. But for that short moment, they became their idol. They would disappear into a puff of smoke, and literally seconds later, they would re-emerge, and they have become their favourite singer, dressed, makeup, hair. So for 3 minutes of fame, they could become somebody else. I'm not going to ask... So, well, I was going to ask somebody to come up to the front and do exactly that, but I'm not going to do that. But I do wonder who you would choose to be. Because you see, in James's letter, as we've followed it through in this series, and we've called it Active Faith for good reason, James is actually saying, choose to be like Jesus all the way through this letter in different ways. Be Christ-like, be godly, be spirit-filled, be obedient followers of Jesus. So I wonder who you would choose to be. Would you choose to be like Jesus? Another question. I wonder, do you think there's a difference between being patient and having patience? Well, I was thinking about this and looked it up, and I read this. It says, the word patient is an adjective. Therefore, it needs a helping verb in order for it to become a verb. So if you add a verb like to be at the beginning of patient, you end up with to be patient. And that becomes a phrase that is then used as a verb. Are you all still with me? What I'm trying to say is being patient is active. It's something you do. It's ongoing. It's not linear or static. It's not a one-off thing. It's kind of a way of being. I was thinking about the sort of things where you can have patience or not. You know, when you're on the phone to the doctors and you're 43 in the queue. What about when your little toddler's called your name 400 times and it's only been 30 seconds, you know? What about at the traffic lights? That's a big one, isn't it? Having patience at the traffic lights. Or when you're waiting for your phone to charge, or even when you're waiting for a program to come on and there's adverts. I mean, who doesn't get annoyed at that, right? That you can't just, like, always skip through the adverts. I mean, you can if you're on the sort of channel that lets you. But, you know, there's loads of things where, in the moment, we might need to have a bit more patience. And sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. But that's in the moment. It's kind of like for a thing. It's for a reason. It's in the moment. And it's not really, I don't think, what James is talking about. I think he's talking about something a bit more long-term. He's talking about standing firm and living out being patient. The dictionary definition, thanks, Dave, of the word patience is this. It's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. So, hands up. No, I'm not going to make you do that. But let me read it again. Being patient is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Now, if you've been following us as a church going through this sermon series of James, he has pulled quite a few punches in different ways through the previous chapters. You know, he's challenging us to be lots of different things. So we've looked at perseverance. We've looked at how we can be more active in our listening. We've looked at how we can be equal and treat others as such. We've considered what active faith really looks like and how we can be actively wise and submissive and humble. So really, it shouldn't be a surprise that when we hit these verses, James is still banging on about being something. He's really emphasising now that we need to be patient, which means accepting delays and problems and suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. And he's not just talking to one or two. You know, he's addressing 12 tribes that were scattered across nations. You know, lots of people dispersed literally across different countries across the Mediterranean. So we can take it individually and hear the message individually, which is a good thing to do. But we can also listen up as a community and as a church and as a body of people. You know, think about the person that's sat next to you. We all need to hear this message all together. Be patient, brothers and sisters, every single one of us. Now, you might hear, be patient, and I'm doing that look, so you might hear it as a reprimand. You might hear it as an order. You might be thinking, I don't like being told what to do, and I certainly don't like being told to be patient. You can feel a bit called out, maybe a bit guilty, or maybe shamed, because you know that you're actually not that patient. It might just irritate you, basically. It might just annoy you, or it might make you feel anxious, or actually might feel challenged, or even encouraged, or maybe not that encouraged. But what if James is really saying in these verses, I want to encourage you to be patient? Because I think that's actually what he's saying. You know, right at the beginning of those verses, James says, be patient then. So why has he put the then in? Well, because of what he's already said. It's almost like he's saying, look, in light of what I've already said to you in my letter, in light of what I've literally just said in these words just before about piling up your own wealth for your own purposes, for your own sake, which is what we kind of looked at last week, he's saying be patient and be filled with expectation because Jesus will come again. So rather than being impatient in your own strength, getting irritated with yourself and everybody else, rely on God. The next slide, thank you, Dave. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. So in other words, being wise, using wise words, showing insight and understanding and just being gentle in speech, that helps to grow patience. When James has talked about wisdom before, he's been talking about wisdom with our speech, about taming our tongue, about not boasting or fighting, acting justly and submitting ourselves to God. And he's laying down the foundations of godly living, of how to be more Christ-like. And so this is the encouragement, because he's said all of that and he's still saying that by saying, right then, be patient. Continue to be all what I'm trying to encourage you to be, to stand firm. But he says, until the Lord comes again, doesn't he? And that's a bit of an issue for us because we don't know when that's going to happen. So this isn't actually be patient until you get fed up or be patient for 5 minutes or kind of, you know, if you need to take a break, just take a little break. Actually, we're in this for the long haul. Well, it could be the short haul because Jesus could come tomorrow. We don't know. But basically, we need to stand firm. If we're going to be true followers of Jesus, we need to stand firm in our faith. And that means developing patience. But the good news is that while we're waiting, God is at work. We often think that when we're waiting for something, maybe it's an answer to a prayer, or we often think that things go very quiet, don't we, and nothing is happening. Where is God in all of this? I can't cope. But actually, God is at work in the waiting, and he's preparing us and he's preparing everyone for the time when Jesus comes again. And why does that matter? Well, it matters because we know that when Jesus does come again, there won't be any more waiting. There won't be any more problems or pain or suffering and all the things that we might be experiencing in times of waiting. Those things will be gone. Revelation 21 says, there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old has gone and the new has come. So this is quite gritty and it's quite difficult actually to kind of get our heads around. And even in John's gospel, Jesus said, we will have trouble in this world. So we're not going to escape problems, troubles, pain, suffering, because in this world we are, those things are going to come. But we're to take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. James is talking about being patient when the things that we don't like to experience just happen. He's talking about being patient when it's tough, when we want quick answers. The Jews that he was addressing, they'd been driven out of their native land, so they'd experienced persecution, and this was like a clarion call to be patient. Keep going, stand firm, patience when you need it most. And you might be facing something today that just feels quite overwhelming. And the thought of being patient until Jesus comes again just feels impossible. But God is for you. He's for us, he's not against us. He's working with us, he's working in us and through us. And to be honest with you, he is the perfect example of patience. I know this because he's very patient with me. I know this because I mess up a lot, but I am trying. Mark, my husband, might say that I'm very trying. I lose my patience. I do. I hold my hands up. I do lose my patience. And you know how many of us, when we do lose our patience, say things that we regret? And you know, we say that, don't we? Lose our patience, like we lose our keys. You know, like you can put your keys down and forget where you've put them. Like, oh, I've lost my patience. I kind of put it down and I don't know where I've left it. But God is saying to us through all these things that James is sharing that God never loses his patience. God is perfect. He is love. He sees what we like. He sees what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need. He's always loving and kind and compassionate and forgiving and wise and just and full of grace and mercy and most definitely patient. And I would really like to be a bit more like that. I don't know about you. Next slide, please, Dave. In verse 7, James goes on to talk about the farmer waiting for the land to yield its crop, waiting patiently for rain to come. And he's illustrating the need for and actually the payoff of patience with using the illustration of a farmer. A farmer has to work diligently in order to get ground prepared and the seed planted. And then he has to wait really patiently for the rain to come. Autumn and spring rains. And without both of those seasonal showers, the seed won't have enough of what it needs to be healthy. It's all part of the process. The farmer depends on the rain, but he can't do anything to make it come any quicker. So he has to be patient through the process, but entirely hopeful that when it does come, it nourishes the ground and it enables the crops to grow. And in our waiting, when patience is really hard, we also go through seasons. And we might feel that life seasons sometimes are just too much to bear, and we have little or no hope, and we can't wait for the next season to come. But that's when we're called to stand firm like the farmer. We need to press into God and trust that he's working in our waiting. And we know, just like the farmer would know, that no season lasts forever. So the hope is better things come, better days come. They do. We know that things don't always move as quickly as we want them to. And God doesn't always work as quickly as we would like him to. But his promise is that he will overcome. And that in the end, it all will come good. So we can be hopeful and patient at the same time. We just have to trust the process of God being at work. And then, right there, in those verses, James just tucks that little phrase, and no grumbling. Okay? Now, that's tough too. Well, I mean, it is for me. I don't know about you. But what else is going on for us then when we're not being patient? You know, later on in these verses, James talks about just say yes or no. Don't faff about with saying other things. Don't swear. Don't use other words. Just be clear. Just be yes or no. Don't get carried away with yourself using words that you don't need to use. Next slide, please, Dave. I love this. I've only got one nerve and you're getting on it. I love that. Because when we're not being patient, the likelihood is that we're not happy to wait. We don't want to just pause. We don't want to let go of the reins. We don't want to accept that things are out of our control. And then we often direct our feelings towards other people. We might even direct them and rant at God. And the reality is that we then might be feeling all sorts of things. We might be really angry or irritated or annoyed or cheesed off. We might likely speak harshly, out of turn, dare I say, rudely or unkindly. We might get frightened or anxious, but it comes out in what we say, doesn't it? We grumble at each other and about each other, even if it's under our breath. We've really got to watch what we say, actually, friends. We really do, because Jesus wants to know that we are with him on our life journey. And if we are with him on our life journey, that means being like him. It's not helpful to us to be grumbly. It's not edifying to others. And it really isn't Christ-like. So I'm afraid grumbling and complaining are off the menu. We've just got to find a way of being really mindful of the words that we use. Being impatient is a me thing. Being patient and developing a lifestyle of patience is a God thing. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. The branches that are attached to the vine have the vine's source of living power within them. Obviously, it's what makes them grow. And so if we live in Christ, we will have Christ's living source of power within us. And that living source of power is the Holy Spirit. It's God's loving, living power that we can have within us that will enable us to produce fruit, just as fruit comes to the branches because they are attached to the vine. Next slide, please, Dave. The fruit that we produce is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And tucked in there, look, is patience. We need to be rooted in Jesus if we want to be able to display these things. We can't just decide, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to be patient. It doesn't quite, I mean, it'd be great if it did work like that, but we know that it doesn't. It takes commitment and obedience and practice, actually. If being patient is a way of being, we are going to have to practice it. Some actors, when they're portraying a character, particularly a historical one, will learn about the person, they'll learn about the character, they might learn how to speak, they might learn some mannerisms, and they want to be the best version of that person, obviously, to play out in a film or a play. Cillian Murphy, who's known for Peaky Blinders, but he played Oppenheimer recently in the big blockbuster film. And for 6 months before he'd even shot any scene at all, he spent 18 hours a day, every single day, learning about the character, playing out the character of Oppenheimer, being Oppenheimer. He would stay in character every single day for 18 hours for 6 months. And that's actually called method acting. It's actually a thing. A classical actor, however, might focus more on speech and presentation, but the method actor will dive so deeply into the character that they feel like they become that character. They're not just playing it out, they're immersing themselves into the role up until the point of near obsession. I wonder if we would ever describe ourselves as being obsessed by the character of Jesus, wanting to be like him that much. To a thespian, method acting is literally still only for a period of time, because once the film is shot, the actor can resume normal service, go back to themselves and drop all the characteristics of the person they were playing. A bit like the Stars in Your Eyes contestant, you know, after 3 minutes it's back in the dressing room and they're back in their own self. But for a Christian, we can have the same sort of experience, but it's called spiritual formation. And the difference is, it's not for a period of time, it's for a lifetime. Next slide, please, Dave. John Mark Comer, in his book Practicing the Way, says this. He says, we do not become like Jesus overnight, but through a long obedience in the same direction. It takes time. Our formation will take a long time, a lifetime. So I wonder how serious we are then about committing to a lifelong journey of being patient, a lifelong journey of being transformed into being more like Jesus. We've sung some fantastic words this morning. You know, I will build my life upon your love. I will trust in you alone. I'm waiting here for you. We sing words like that, don't we? And it's heartfelt. But the call here from James is, don't just sing it and feel it in a moment. start thinking about living it out and it being a way of being. If you haven't read any of Job and his story in the Bible, I'd really encourage you to, because James mentions him as an example of somebody that has endured much suffering. And it's true. Job's patience stands out, actually. His story is a bit extreme. I mean, he does suffer an awful lot. He loses all his children and his wealth, and he's covered in painful sores, and he has troubles with his wife and his friends. But all through the whole of his story, he is really patient, and he trusts God. James's first readers of this letter would have understood that straight away, because they had been through some tough times. When the letter was written, around that time, Stephen had already been killed as the first Christian martyr, and the early Jewish Christians had fled from Jerusalem for safety. There was a lot going on. There was persecution. They kind of knew what it felt like to be in a time of trial and suffering. But James is trying to be encouraging. This is an encouragement. Be patient then, because good things are coming, because the Lord will come again. God ultimately wants us to trust him and to draw strength and hope from being in relationship with him through Jesus. But patience often means slowing down. We can rely on Jesus, we can trust him and desire more of him. More of Jesus, less of me. More of Jesus, less of you. We can't really be patient if we're anxiously caught up in the tyranny of the urgent. We can't really be patient if we're grumbling and moaning about our circumstances, about what we do or don't have or can or can't do. We can't really be patient if we're caught up in ourselves. Next slide, please, Dave. We need to cultivate active patience. We need to accept that it's a lifelong challenge, actually. No one's saying that this is easy, because it is a challenge. It's a daily choice. It's a constant way of being, but not really achievable on our own. We do need the Holy Spirit's power. But three simple things to kind of get us started. Choosing to calm down. Choosing to calm down and take time to be in God's presence, to be still. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." We get so busy, don't we? Life can be so busy. But here is a call to just slow down. Just slow down and find those moments where we can be in God's presence. Accepting what's in our control and trusting God with the rest. Take time to trust him. Psalm 28 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me." We need to take time to deepen our relationship with God, because that's how we learn to trust him. The more we get to know him, the more we spend time with him, the more we're able to trust him. And meditating on his word, taking time to read his word, actually. We get so busy that actually time for reading the Bible and spending valuable moments enjoying what God wants to say to us through his word, they get squeezed out in the busyness of everything else sometimes. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." The Bible teaches us actually how to do one and two. You know, everything that we need to know is kind of in the Bible. Being in his presence, trusting in him, meditating on his word. We can do this on our own. But it is even better to do it in community. Jesus is calling the scattered Christians when he wrote this letter to be patient. And that's what he's calling us to do too. The benefit of doing life together is that we can encourage each other, because we're all part of God's family. But finding those moments to just be can be a challenge all by itself. The sanctuary, as Matt said, in Holy Week is open for exactly that, for you to just come and be. Finding space, finding time, and building a desire to want to be more patient, building a desire to be in Jesus's company, to be in God's presence. Remember, this is a lifetime calling. It's not method acting. This for us is spiritual formation. The question is, how much do we really want to be like Jesus?